All right, so we're back with our awakenings here.
Yep.
So it was funny, we just watched a video. It was pretty hilarious about introverts, extroverts, and we just wanted to share some insight in our own lives, but also what we see a lot of when it comes to this area, you know, introverted or extroverted. And this video is funny because this guy is kind of a comedian dude, and he was playing the two roles of himself, you know, one version of himself is the introvert, the other one's extrovert, and it's these labels. Okay, let's talk about this for a second, about labeling somebody an extrovert, introvert. We've really looked at ourselves a lot through the journey, and when we went from labeling to going, wait a minute, why am I labeling something that is actually changing? Meaning that...
Yeah, giving it the freedom and permission to change.
Yeah, meaning that where do we start in our spirit? What are we made of? It's certainly not labeled like that. So meaning our spirit doesn't have suffering. It doesn't have labels attached. It's just unconditional love. That's who we are. And so in that realm, everything is well-being. Like Amy said, everything is complete safety, complete wholeness, complete well-being, complete awakenedness.
You're at rest.
We're at rest. And so if we look at the real us, then everything on the outside, the egoic nature, has been conditioned through our upbringing, through trauma, through pain, through all the good times too, but it's still conditioned through some level of society, mom or dad or both. And from the beginning, they're telling you, you need to eat all this food on the table. Or if you're kind of that introverted, for the message sake, then it's like, why are you just sitting there reading books all day long? Why are you alone in your room? Right. Get out there and play with
and
the kids.
And your parents think something's wrong with you. So right. And they keep trying to set you up to meet people and join these groups, and they call up your relatives and try to put you on the phone by force, and you're just like, oh my gosh.
Because they're trying to match what they see through their own lens of conditioning, it is truth. But really, it's all conditioning trying to condition others.
Right.
You notice that?
Because they want you to be like them, because that's all they have there that they can understand. And you're like, I'm not like you.
Yeah, and we saw this one spiritual teacher a while back that we respect. He was on this movie, and he said there was a kid scene, a children's scene there, and one of the children was playing in the park, and it came up, the boy came up, he came up and squirted him with a squirt gun, and he just laughed, and then the mom's sitting there of the boy going, oh, don't do that, don't.
Yeah,
sit there and squirt people. I'm so sorry. And she's apologizing for squirting the squirt gun. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, no, just let him be a child. Let him be a child, you know?
Just grace. It was just grace came off of him.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
And then you might be sitting there thinking, well, what if they do something bad? We have to discipline them.
Yeah, we need to shame them to make sure it never happens again.
Yeah. All conditioning. Because we have an inner compass that shows us who we are from the inside out. Are we listening to the inner compass, or are we listening to somebody else's conditioning? That's the issue. So when it comes to introverted, extroverted,
yeah,
I believe, we both believe that, and I've said this for a long time myself, and then Amy and I were always discussing these kind of things, which is awesome, but I don't believe if somebody is known to be an extrovert, is that who they really are? Somebody's known to be an introvert. Is that who they really are? Or as they grow and mature and become awakened, does that shift? Does that change?
Right.
Of course it does.
From the programs, they actually can see, wait a minute, this was a learned behavior and program,
yep,
of watching my parents till age 7 when I was completely pliable to all their downloads and actions. And I learned by watching them and picked up a habit or personality through them that I'm now living out. Is that really me?
Right. And the more, I can tell you this, and you know this in your own life, the more we heal, the more you're going to want and desire nature. You're going to want to desire aloneness. You're going to want and desire this place of being sitting and soaking and absorbing and meditating and wanting to be. Now, it doesn't mean that that's the way it is 24/7, but think about Jesus as our perfect example. Jesus is around the throngs, right? So some people would say, look at him, he's an extrovert. But then he went away a lot. Yeah. So then somebody would say, oh, he's an introvert. Well, he's neither. You know, when Paul said,
balanced.
When Paul said, be all things to all people, there's some truth in that in relation to this, introvert, extrovert. It's like, okay, when you're around a bunch of extroverts, do you really want to be the introvert in the room? Well, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. Well, being all things to all people is not engaging in some crazy thing that's going to make you compromise. It, what it means is, like I've always said to Amy, adjust a little to meet who you're around so that there's relatability there without compromising who you are, but there's relatability so that you can engage in a meaningful conversation, right? You can't just be the extrovert standing in a corner of a room with a room full of extroverts and expect any kind of engagement at all to happen.
Introvert,
You know, as an introvert, or vice versa, an extrovert being so loud in a room full of introverts.
Oh gosh, I know.
You know,
come on, look at me, don't you want to go play? Don't you? Come on, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? You need to lighten up. Let's go shopping. Yeah. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And they're just like, whoa, I think I'll be walking out of that door right now.
Yeah, it's like picture a library and that person, the extrovert, and they're saying that in a library. Right.
Five rows down, you can hear them.
Exactly. So the thing is, let's look at this as, remember that, you know, I mean, obviously we do the pandemic worldwide. People, the extroverts were going nuts, right? They're like, I got to be around somebody. I got to get out of this house. I've got to go down to hang out with my friends. Man, I feel like this is prison. This is crazy. I just want to die, you know? And the introverts are all going, oh, I love this.
Oh, this is fabulous.
This is fabulous.
I get to work from home, get out of my own fridge.
Get to be alone.
Have some time out.
So what's right? Well, there is no right versus wrong here. What we're saying is, where's the middle ground
of
being whole?
Yes.
And well-being means that, wait a minute, if you're an extrovert and you have to be around people, rest assured God is allowing things to unravel where people, maybe the same people that you were around before aren't there anymore. Friends have walked away. You're put in a job or a situation where you have to be alone. Well, that's all God's calling card saying, hey, I just want to heal you up a little bit more here.
Bring in some maturity.
Bring in some maturity and wake you up.
And some things in front of you to show you, you know, what's in there. Is it you? Is it me? Is it you? You know?
Exactly.
Is it, or is this a program? Is this a learned behavior? Something that you thought was you, but it was actually passed down to you from a parent. And, you know, I really saw this in my life. My dad is a big time extrovert where, you know, he's got to be around people. He's got to be calling people while he's driving home. He's got to be talking to everybody, you know, at every store and, you know, the cash register person and the worker and then asking their opinions. And then he's part of like four or five different groups per week where he goes and meets at coffee shops and different things like that. And here's the tricky thing, right? All these things can look like really good things. This would be like your type two, right, on an Enneagram, personality type, or the otter, you know, and the different ones. But anyway, it can all look, and this is a deceptive thing, it can look like a really good thing. But if the underlining current is that you're running from something internally, and you don't want to take a look at it, and you're...
Can't stand being alone.
You've got to be distracted, right? Because there's this discomfort inside that you're running from. Or you've got these internal beliefs that nobody knows about that you feel like I'm nothing unless I'm part of something. Unless I'm part of a crowd, or I can distract myself and receive information from others validating that I'm somebody. And this is why I have to be talking to somebody. I need to hear them tell me that I'm doing a good job, or thank you so much for calling me. Oh, you were there for me. And, you know, it's so the unhealthy part of being an extrovert is that we're reaching for everything outside of us to satisfy us inside instead of being fully satisfied and whole inside, where you don't need anything. You don't need people. You don't, you know, you're healthy. And then you can go out. And, you know, of course, there's statistics that say, well, for an extrovert, they feel charged by people. An introvert, they have to go away to get charged and recuperate, right? So the introvert can be outgoing, but they got to charge and go away. The extrovert, but you got to think about this. And again, you're reaching for an outside supply as an extrovert. You know, the extreme is like narcissism, where they call it narcissistic supply, where they're pulling and pulling, and I gotta pull this person's time. I've got to pull this person's love. I've got to pull this, you know, all these things to fulfill and feel enough.
Yeah. And then on the flip side for the introvert.
Right.
So the introvert may want to isolate because they've been so wounded by people. And so it could be that they surround themselves with a lot of cats, a lot of dogs, a lot of animals. And so they're like, oh, I just have my animals. I don't need people. And they're internally having this dialogue. And then people on the outside that are halfway awake, they can go see, oh, okay, well, maybe there's an extreme there going on because they have 30 cats and 40 dogs and 15 goldfish.
And no human interaction.
And no human interaction. So there's the extreme side where they actually go, man, I don't want to be around people, because anytime they say anything, then I don't know what to say, or
I feel awkward.
I don't want to get hurt and wounded and traumatized again or triggered because they're going to say something wrong. I just rather not deal with it. So I'm going to go pet my snake. So it's like you have these extremes on both sides and with both sides. And then when you begin awakening out of that 3D reality of labeling, okay, because everything in the 3D world is labeled.
Right. And everything. It'll keep you stunted and limited.
It'll keep you anchored in this reality that's swimming around in this huge fishbowl with everyone else just pointing out and judging and calling each other names and labeling them. And then we have this segregation, fractured, fragmented society by the droves, millions of people walking around in this stupor, living in this 3D anchored world. Whereas the globe, the world, the humanity, God is actually awakening all those that will listen and that will receive the messages that he's giving and saying, do you want to stay there? You don't have to. I mean, you have free will. You can stay there if you want, but there's a freedom for you.
Right.
And so then when they start getting healed and waking up, then they're like, ah, you know, do I really need 30 dogs? Do I really need 1,500 cats?
Yeah, they see the imbalance, you know, you start recognizing the imbalance on either side of the scale, you know, with the extrovert, the imbalance of being involved in everything, every society, activity, group, you know, just everything, people's lives, and then the introvert just right with the animals and like, whoa, 30 cats, yeah, I guess that is a little bit too much, unless they want to turn it into a business, but...
Oh, right, or unless you're really called to... care for animals. There's a difference. You know that. If you're hiding, yes, in them. And the same with the extrovert.
Yeah, maybe you're hiding in the crowd.
You're hiding in the crowd. Maybe the extrovert, when they start waking up, they're like, huh, you know what? I just want to go sit in a park somewhere. And then everybody knows that extrovert, that our extrovert's like, what? Why would you want to go sit in a park by
yourself?
What's
wrong with you? Wait, I'm coming with you.
I'm coming with you. I'm going to sit on the bench with you, and we're going to talk about this.
And then they get you right back into your old pattern that you're trying to get free of. Because now they're uncomfortable, because now it's exposing their wounding and their issues.
This is why Amy, you know, we've talked about this a lot, but Amy's like, I just couldn't stand the chatty girls hanging around. All these girls wanted to chat. And there was one point where she thought she was more extroverted until she woke up. And then she's like, wait a minute. And we got a brain scan from a well-known person in Canada.
The government in Canada.
She's like, no, you're really an extrovert, or you're really an introvert.
Yeah, you guys are. She said both of us were 80% introvert. And she goes, but nobody would know it because you guys really care about people and you'll put yourselves aside and be there for people, but it drains you. Like, she goes, you guys are made to either be behind a computer screen or TV or on a big stage. She goes, one-on-one even drains you.
Yeah,
and we're like, whoa, it's true. Yeah. So true.
It doesn't necessarily mean that a person's wounded because that's true. Mm-hmm. What it means is, wait a minute, I gain strength and energy and I'm more awake when I'm doing these things that are more introverted because I have that bent.
In nature.
Now, you're always evolving, right? We're always growing, we're always learning. And so there may be a point where, you know, it's more like in the middle of the road where, you know, whenever, and it's natural, guys. Remember, when somebody hurts us, it's natural to pull away like the wounded animal to go get healing. But when you stay there, that's what we're talking about. When you stay there, things become extreme.
And you don't grow and mature. And you know, the real test is, can you be with yourself alone?
And be okay.
At rest and feel well-being and not need anything or anyone, but yet be around people. You're just whole. You're good either way, right?
You're good either way. You can be around. And just like going back to Jesus here, he was the master of this. He would come in after being alone with love himself. He's alone with himself, with God, with Father, and just really having that time, that intimacy, that quiet time to refill and recharge and then go back out and intermingle with the crowds. And so nobody that we've read about in the Bible, at least it's not put in there. It may have happened where somebody thinks, I'm sure it did, because of the way understanding goes with people and their levels of understanding, is they point the finger and say, look at him, he's going away again. I mean, I wonder if he's really introverted, or man, he's always around the crowds. He looks like an extrovert. And so people were labeling back then, because that's what 3D does. But the whole point is that he was known as a lover of people, known as a healer, known as a deliverer around the throngs. That's what he was mainly known for. And then when he went away, we're like, okay, so he went away to commune and to be alone and to get away from the crowds, because he knew that if you're around crowds, here's the point. If you're around crowds all the time, then you're never going to hear the answers that you're really looking for in the quiet, because the still small voice comes in that quiet alone time, at least where you can hear it more loudly. When you're in a crowd, of course you can hear and see, but it's going to be a lot more difficult, because that's why we have sleep. God gave us sleep so that we could finally still ourselves to be able to hear and see through dreams, be able to hear and then wake up and then have the answer. You know, there's sleep for a reason. If God wanted us to be around crowds all the time, then we wouldn't have to sleep. He wouldn't make it so humans would sleep. But it's called recharge. It's called reinvigorate, rejuvenate while you're sleeping. The body needs it. So what is that? That's the introverted alone time. Sleep is being an introvert. It equals introversion, right? But then when we're around the crowds, and think about it, people that have to be around people all the time or have to be on the computer 24/7 playing games all night long on the computer,
chatting up a storm on Facebook,
then they have what? Insomnia. And so they don't sleep.
They're out of touch with themselves, you know, because you're reaching for everybody else to just give you that one more bang for the buck, external, you know, appreciation or compliment or you were doing something for them, so then they're thanking you again. You're trying to receive this supply, and then it's easy to become a rescuer too, right? When you're an extrovert and going in and rescuing, and it's same with an introvert, you know, because you're a feeler. So they side on the empathy and feeler side of, I've got to go in and rescue these people, you know. And where the extrovert's like, I'm going to go rescue, win the day, be the hero, woohoo, you know, and they're going to tell me what a great person I am, and, you know, or right. You just get a thrill off of it. And again, both sides is, again, coming back into this place of wholeness, maturity, and growth, where you have no need of anything. And that's not wrong. That's not self, that's not prideful. That is, it's just balance, 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 right? And knowing yourself, right? Like the whole saying goes, know thyself. How much do you really know yourself? Or do you battle with not trusting yourself, so you need other people to tell you stuff?
Yeah, and the key is not to say, I need balance, so I'm going to go make it happen. That's not awakening. Awakening happens to where
you paddle up,
you put your hands in the air, like you just don't, put your hands in the air, and you let the current take you right into awakening.
Your spirit.
So that the spirit takes you into this middle ground, so to speak, of healing.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, but where resistance is, and you're saying, no, I'm just going to be this way. This is the way my mama is. This is the way I am. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. Just leave me alone. I can't tell you how many times we've had people say, what's wrong with you always wanting to be alone? Because they're the extrovert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to fix us. You know, they're trying to fix the person.
Look what you're missing out on. Look what you're missing out on. So much fun.
It's like, no, I'm having a blast sitting by the river right now.
Yes.
This is so great to me.
Observing and learning about creation and wisdom and connecting to my spirit.
and say, hey, I'll come join you on the next one.
Yeah.
See, this is what more of a healed person sounds like.
Healed introvert.
Healed introvert. Hey, the extrovert's calling you. Hey, what are you doing today? I'm out by the river. Oh, really? Hey, I was going to invite you out to this picnic. There's going to be so-and-so there. There's going to be Billy Bob, Susie Bob, Billy Joe, and Jerome. They're all going to be there. All your favorites, right? Yeah, it sounds great. Sounds great. Hey, can I catch you on the next one? I'm really enjoying myself right now by the river. No, I need you here now. I mean, man, you're going to miss out.
What, I need you here.
Yeah, I need you here now. They need you. They want to see you.
Right.
They want to hear from you. Them. Man, come on. You know, you need to be over here. We're having a blast. Look, we're having hot dogs and hammers. Sounds like you're having a good time. I want you to have a good time with me. No, I'm enjoying myself right by the river.
I'm okay where I'm at.
Soaking it all in. The sun's shining. The fish are jumping. And I'm putting my toes in the water. Oh, it feels so good.
You want to come join me?
You want to come join me? No, why would I want to do that? I'm around Jerome and Billy Bob and Shaniqua and Chiquana and all the rest. I mean, I'm with my friends. They're your friends. They're your friends. No, they're more your friends. No, they're your friends. Okay. Well, it sounds like you're having a good time. Hey, there's fish jumping. I got to go. I'll catch you on the next one, all right? No. I want to talk, man. I'm driving to the picnic now.
I am going by where you are. I can pick you up right now.
Yeah, I can pick you up right now. Wait a minute.
I got a cup of coffee, too, an extra one.
Why don't you want to talk to me while I'm driving? Why don't you want to talk to me while I'm all the way there? I have another 45 minutes to get there, but I need to talk to somebody. And you're like, I hear you. I hear you, man. I'm going to have to catch you on the next one, okay? All right, man. Talk to you soon. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Click. And then the extrovert's like,
what? So then they start scrolling through their phone who the next person is.
Yeah, the next person. Man, I can't believe you didn't want to talk to him. What is wrong with him?
Yeah.
What is wrong with him? Always wanting to be alone. Like, what, you can't stand that.
So then you're the subject of their conversation with the next friend all the way to their
all the way to the picnic. And then when you get to the picnic, they're talking about guess who? You.
Oh, gosh.
Sitting by the river, enjoying the fish jumping.
Is it so criminal?
So it's like, okay, and then we could flip it. Right? We could talk about the healed extrovert, but you get the point. The point is like, this causes division when we stay in these labels. And we're like, I'm an extrovert. That's just who I am.
Yeah, the tug of war of trying to convince the other to be like them.
Yeah, it's no different than saying, I'm a Catholic and you're a Pentecostal or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It divides. Instead of just saying, hey, I enjoy sitting by the river, or I enjoy being around people. And maybe one day I'll enjoy sitting by the river. Maybe one day I'll really enjoy hanging around a bunch of people. But right now, this is where I'm at. And so,
leave me alone. Following your inner compass. and it really comes down to following your inner compass, too. It's like, are you following your spirit, or are you following your ego?
That's exactly what it is.
And the extrovert's ego is, I need you. you need to be here. Something's wrong with you. And the introvert's ego is, I'm not going nowhere like that. I've had enough pain in my life and I don't trust me. I'm going to be right here and satisfied with my animals. Goodbye. You know? And so, but right. Again, it's just that healing level and wholeness level. And then just letting people be in their process too, not to force them out of their shell or force them into a shell, you know?
Yeah.
And let them be in their process.
I tell you what, this world would transform in a hot minute if we would just leave people alone to their own development with God. It's almost as if we tell God, God, you're not good enough. You're not doing a good enough job. You know, you're not doing a good enough job. I have to intervene here as a rescuer and help this person see that they're really not an introvert or an extrovert. Mm-hmm. So I have to intervene here, God. I mean, after all, I heard your voice to go send me over there to give them a
this
word.
This is my great commission.
To help them out, yeah. I'm going to go. I'm the rescuer here. Until we wake up out of that, then we're going to keep this mad cycle of 3D anchoring that causes people to stay in 3D realities instead of ascending into a 4D, 5D world that shouts or that gleams unconditional love. That's right. Where we're going. And if we keep wanting to hold on to these touch, feel, taste, you know, fix realities, 3D, anybody that's completely anchored in a 3D world that doesn't believe that there's anything outside of that, they're going to be Mr. Fix-It or Mrs. Fix-It, guaranteed. Yeah. They're going to run around trying to fix everything and everyone. They're fixers.
So that they feel okay. Because why do you feel like you need to fix somebody? It's because you don't feel okay inside. Don't feel okay inside. So then we end up projecting onto other people. Because if you feel okay inside, then it doesn't matter what anybody else does.
That's exactly right.
Because you realize I'm not responsible. Everybody's responsible for their own choices, their own life. And it frees you up.
Yeah, whenever you have someone say, hey, whenever you hear a parent say to an 18-year-old, hey, you know what? We love you. We're behind you. We're supporting you anyway, but we know you have a free will. We know that you're smart and intelligent. You as kind, you as smart. You are all these things because God made you that way, and that's the real you. You're all these wonderful qualities, so be free. Be free to go explore, be free to live and move and have your being and go discover. That is a healed parent.
Yes.
Because now they're no longer rescuing, trying to fix their child, trying to confine them or control them. They're saying, hey, be free. Yeah. Be free to be you.
They're allowing them to follow God's compass and within them, to follow the current within them.
Follow the compass. And guess what? That child is going to respect and honor their parents, and they're going to want to come around all the time because they don't feel these hooks.
Right.
They don't feel these controlling mechanisms, manipulation, trying to get them to eat all their vegetables or eat all before they can have anything else, you know?
Yeah. So I want to touch on really quick too, you know, the different speed paces, right, between an introvert and extrovert. And how an unhealed, I know a lot of challenges can be, you know, where the extrovert, you know, is very quick. And you know, I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I like to get things done, move quick, more, you know, we're both kind of type A to us too. But anybody that moves really slow, it becomes kind of, you know, annoying or irritating, right? And so... So for an introvert, an unhealed introvert, they take way too long, right, to make a decision because they're trying to get it so perfect and wait for the perfect timing that it becomes so passive and procrastinating because they don't want to feel the pain of missing it.
Making
a wrong decision. So they take way too long, right? To make a decision, and you're like pulling your hair out on the other end, like, dude, make a decision and you'll know either way.
And what you can see around that is God bringing the help they need. God bringing right. answers around, and they're like in no, so in their head, yeah. so in their intellect that they're like, well, no.
They
no.
reason it out, yeah. reason it out, close it out.
Yeah, and here God's bringing all these answers and all these things, and he will continue to, right?
Right.
Until they awaken and see that, whoa, that help is from God. And so it's to help them break out of that, right?
Yeah, but the ego and pride in an unhealed introvert won't give up their story of,
no.
I'm not doing anything unless I have calculated out everything to make sure that this is the most perfect decision. And what ends up happening, like John said, they miss so many opportunities. They don't allow themselves to experience something and grow from it because they're so sensitive to pain, right? So we can really avoid a lot of opportunities and of growth because we don't want to experience any more pain. So then we become, you know, in the introvert, you become so rigid and staunch on this is just how I am.
Intellectual.
I'm stubborn this way. Once I commit to something, then that's it. That, you know, there it's the whole loyalty to a fault. That's another area, right?
Yeah.
But they become unmovable, you know, and that's to a fault because then you don't allow yourself to grow. You really box yourself into a limited understanding instead of allowing the unfolding of more truth and then more truth and then more truth. So that's an unhealed area of
right.
that's actually pride and fear mixed together for an unhealed introvert, yeah. right?
Now, the extreme of the extrovert, it will drive them crazy. So what are they doing? They're always saying, come on, what's wrong with you? Come on, get up. Do something. We got to move quickly here. Come on. This is taking forever. And so then they're pushing.
Right. Trying to force them out of their shell. And so then they're just tightening down further, the introvert.
Right. And then it drives the extrovert nuts, the unhealed extrovert nuts, because then they, what's happening here is God is trying to draw both to the middle,
yes.
middle,
mm-hmm.
which is called healing.
Mm-hmm.
And once that
and
soul and those patterns begin to heal up and the patterns begin to fall off of that conditioning from their child and their upbringing, the traumas in life, then it's like, oh, okay, wait a minute here. It's not about labels. It's about coming into this awakened
wholeness.
State of wholeness, mm-hmm. saying, look, I don't have to anchor in and control you in any way.
Right.
That's not my job, is to fix you or rescue you or control you or push you or force you to do anything.
Yeah.
Notice that God doesn't force you to do anything. Some would say, yes, he does. No. That's the unhealed part of you saying
that he does. How you're perceiving it.
How you're perceiving
mm-hmm.
it. We hear it so much in its church world of God's making me do this or God is pushing me to do this or God is forcing me to do this. No, that's your unhealed patterns that are speaking to you that you're confusing with God.
That are translating, mixing up the translation there.
Now, there may be times when God warns us about a situation for our own safety, like don't get on that plane
mm-hmm.
or don't get in the car, don't drive here or there. That's different.
Yeah. You'll hear his voice be a little bit firmer, but it's still very loving, you know.
Very loving.
It's just more of a alertness. He's trying to alert you to something. It's just that loving warning, you know.
It's like a mother when the child runs out in the street. Hey, hold on, you're going to get hit. Don't do it. And they run out and grab the child, right? Sometimes that's necessary, but that's not the norm.
Mm-hmm.
How often does your child run in front of cars? It's not every day. If it is, then maybe you need to move or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Put up a fence. I don't know. But, you know,
the two
it's
extremes.
It's the extremes we're talking about here. So
with the, you know, the introvert, the extrovert, see, and where they have their gifts, the introvert's gift is to pull back, assess, and discern and apply wisdom, right? That's a huge gift of an introvert and really feel a situation out. And then the gift of a healthy extrovert is that they can actually take action, right? They can actually go take action, make something happen. And when you bring the two together where the extrovert can say, okay, I know I can go make something happen, but I'm going to pull back a moment, rest, and receive some wisdom.
Right.
And then the introvert said, you know, I'm not going to take so long on this. I'm going to back up, look, assess, but then feel that prompt to take action, actually do it and not talk myself out of it.
Yeah.
So that's the healthy balance coming into that center. You know.
And again, you cannot make this happen on your own. Oh, you can. You can try. But you'll just revert right back if you're unhealed. The key to healing is for the extrovert to slow. You're going to have to intentionally slow down, right?
And surrender
to your spirit to pull away, get some alone time to sit there and do nothing but soak. Not with your phone, not with the TV on, not with a computer in your lap, but all electronics aside, just sit there.
I can't.
My mind will go crazy. I can't. My mind's always thinking. No, that's just an excuse because you have power over that.
Yeah, and just release it. Those are things coming up for you to practice releasing.
Exactly. So that you're going to have to, as much as you're possible, even if it's 10 minutes to start with, I guarantee, because we're not wired to be an extrovert, we're not wired to be an introvert, those labels, we're, quote, wired to be whole no matter what. In any situation, any circumstance. So I can be around people. I can not be around people. I'm fine either way. That's a healed person.
Your spirit's whole, right? So don't you want to, when you sit back, you start aligning and matching up to your spirit. And so your spirit will say to your extroverted side, if you're an extrovert,
yes,
slow down. I want you to take a look at this. And I'm going to line you up. And then reveals for you where to take action. And then for the introvert, you're already able to just slow down and go into meditation or whatever. And now your spirit's going to say, okay, these are the areas I want you to start looking at and taking action in.
So
being led by the spirit. The sons of God are led by the spirit, you know, sons and daughters.
Yep. So, just wanted to share some of that with you about our own lives as well. And hopefully that helps, and we'll be talking a lot more about this as we go along. But thanks so much for listening in, and we really appreciate you guys. We really do. Thanks for all the encouragement, and feel free to share this if you want. Just you have the free will to do whatever you want with this message. All right, we love you. Thank you.
Bye.